Blog Talk Radio.
I'm interested in is really teaching young people how to be in business for themselves.
Richard Gilbert, Dick Griffey, grew up in the J.C. Napier housing projects on Nashville's South Side. Mr. Griffey attended Tennessee State University for a semester before joining the Navy at age 17 and landing in Los Angeles in the 1960s, where he became part owner in the nightclub Guys and Dolls. Once word spread about Griffey's professional treatment of recording artists like Ike and Tina Turner and Isaac Hayes, he was soon booking national tours for major stars like James Brown, Aretha Franklin, Michael Jackson, and Stevie Wonder. This earned him the title Kingpin of Soul Promoters and a job as talent coordinator for the television show Soul Train. Mr. Griffey and the show's producer, Don Cornelius, partnered to create Soul Train Records in 1975, which became Sound of Los Angeles Records, or Solar, in 1977 with Griffey as owner. Within 3 years, Solar artists were topping the soul charts and impacting the pop market, leading the Los Angeles Times to name Griffey as the most promising new black music executive of 1980. Griffey would assemble a stable of artists, musicians, and engineers that produced a string of hits so impressive, Solar became known as the Motown of the 80s. Mr. Griffey would extend his influence into the 1990s by mentoring songwriting duo Kenneth Babyface Edmonds and Antonio L.A. Reed, who would go on to found LaFace Records.
Thank you.
gotta show the beat is real.
Fun? Oh man, guys, this is Wardell Posterian, and you know what time it is. This is when we celebrate the sound of Los Angeles records here on Solar Records Radio. I hope everything is good for you guys and you are well. Thank you for tuning in today. We just want to have a good time with you and do what we do here on Solar Records Radio. Let's turn that down a tad. But guys, thanks so much for tuning in. Wow, Friday. I can't believe we're already in Friday. Give me a break, man. Time flies when you're having fun. And so I hope you guys are good. All is well. Much love to all of you guys. Charlotte, much love, sweetheart. We love you. And we're praying for you. And we're right there with you. Don't forget, we are right there with you, sweetheart. We love you. All right? So you hang in there. You do what you got to do. God is on your side. You just keep on praying and you keep on believing. And just do what you got to do. Take care of yourself. Do what the doctors say. And I know you're going to be okay, sweetheart. Anyway, we're here for you and we love you. I heard you're going to see Shalimar. Wow. So that's awesome. We just pray that you have a wonderful time out there with Greg and Phil. Just enjoy yourself and do your thing, girl. And much love to you and to all the guys in Shalimar and stuff. And hopefully they bless you with some good music, good performance, and all that good stuff, right? Anyway, that's our girl Charlotte, guys. Don't forget, we keep it Charlotte in prayers here on Solar Records Radio. We are with her to the end of this fight until she recovers from her sickness. So we got to keep her in prayer. All right? Charlotte, she's in the UK. So it don't matter where you are, Charlotte. We love you wherever you are. And God loves you right where you are. So anyway, guys, I want to just say thank you for praying for her. Thank you for tuning in to Solar Records Radio today. We're going to have a good time. I just want to play some good music for you and try to be a blessing to you. Share any information, any questions you may have about Solar. And that was right there in the beginning, right? Y'all know that And the Beat Goes On. That was right, you know, actually the song. You hear the song behind me, Homemade Loving? The song that I'm playing in the background is the song that Leon did. I think it was his first song that he did on The Whispers. And Homemade Loving. And there's a video out there where the Whispers really made a mistake, and they said that Leon was playing the numbers on the drums, and it was not And the Beat Goes On, even though Nick Carwell made the mistake and said it was And the Beat Goes On. The song that he was talking about in the video was the one that you hear in the background. And this is in 1978, before I got to California, before Leon had auditioned me and found his drummer. He was doing everything himself, and It was hard work, but he got it done. And he did a great job at doing it. And he called it the numbers, doing one drum at a time. And so, actually, he did the snare and the hi-hat together. And but the kick drum he did separately. And, you know, and so he did a great job. I'm proud of him. And but then in 1979, when I got there, that's when we started with And the Beat Goes On. And all of a sudden, there were the Throwdown Brothers, William Shelby and Dana Myers and Kevin Spencer, Leon Silvers. Man, oh, man, it was a bunch of us. Ricky Smith. And we were just having a great time, man. And we were really blessed and we were fortunate that we had this time with each other to be a blessing to you guys. And so I'm gonna play some of the stuff, you know, that you grew up listening to. So let's get going here on Soul Eye Records Radio. This is Wardell Potts Jr. We got an hour and a half. We're gonna have a good time. I'm gonna hit you hard and hit you right where you like it, in the groove. So here we go. Thank you. Beautiful music. And that was my group, Dynasty. And Love Me Some Dynasty. And featuring William Shelby, right? And Kevin Spencer on lead vocals. Rest in peace, William Shelby. We love you, brother. Thank you so much for everything that you did for us. At Solar, not just in Dynasty, but at Solar, he was all around, one of those all around guys. And I have some questions that I need to answer for you guys. And so thank you for your questions. Let me get to the questions. Come on, Wardell, you're slow. Lord, I'm slow. I know. Okay, so, here's the first question. And the first question is, I want to know the answer to my question, if it's okay. Okay, yes, it's okay. I know that the Whisperers wanted to concentrate on ballads, but how much did they embrace the fact that their success was built on the up-tempo track and, I guess, tracks, and were they happy to be, were they happy to record and the beat goes on? And so, let me just see if I can break that down. So their success, they had already had moderate success prior to Solar. They had already been putting out all kind of ballads that were very, they got a lot of airplay. They were performing. They were doing great. But they had never had a gold or platinum record. But they, you know, Lost and Turned Out and all those big hits that they had, they were doing great before the up-tempos. But once they came to Solar, Dick Griffey got a hold to them because he was managing them. And then he decided once he started Solar, the song And the Beat Goes On came up, but we were recording And the Beat Goes On for a group that Dana Myers had put together called Myers, Philparts, and Wood. So that's Dana Myers, Vernon Woods, and Mark Philpart. And those three were amazing singers. They together, their harmonies were just ridiculous. Like, whoa, they were too much. And and we really loved them and enjoyed them. And so Leon decided that, you know, hey, I'm gonna record these guys. They're gonna put their thing out and let them, you know. So And the Beat Goes On was for them. And so we went in the studio, but they didn't have a record deal yet. So we went in the studio and we were recording the song And the Beat Goes On, and we did Out the Box the same night. So And the Beat Goes On and Out the Box. Out the Box is on the album. And so on the Whispers album. And so the problem happened for those guys, Myers, Philpart, and Wood, when Dick Griffey heard And the Beat Goes On, what we did. And he was like, he had to have it. And Leon's like, oh, but this is for my group. And Dick Griffey was like, you know, just signed Leon to a production deal. And he says, I really want this for the Whispers, you know. And so Leon, you know, caved in and, you know, did the smart thing, I guess, and gave it to the Whispers. I said, okay, you got it. And so the Whispers went in the studio and they recorded. And I don't think that they really understood the impact of what was happening. I don't think anyone really did. We didn't know. Leon had a better feeling than anyone. And so we're in the studio recording and the Whispers are singing and, you know, and man, by the time Leon got finished with those guys, it was amazing. It was like, whoa, wait a minute, we've just gone to a whole nother level. And so I think it was the best decision that between Dick Griffey and the Whispers and Leon Silvers, the best decision they made for the Whispers career, because that song And the Beat Goes On not only became a platinum hit, but it was the biggest selling song they ever had. Now, you know, they had a lot of big hits, but that one was the biggest. And the reason why that one is the biggest, even though it's like the first thing we did, people are still buying it. So it is still making money for, you know, well, rest in peace, William Shelby and Stephen Shockley. But it was the biggest selling record the Whispers ever had. And so what an honor it is for all of us to be a part of that, right? To, you know, I got to play drums on it and you know, Ricky Smith with the Arp Quadric keyboard playing a dun dun. I mean, that amazing part that really stood out. Leon Silvers on the bass and William Shelby on keyboards. It was just an amazing time, and we that's when everything started taking off for Solar and the Whispers. And so, but the Whispers did have, you know, some, like, every time they come in and we get ready to do another song, it was like, well, hold on, what are they? You know, they were used to being the boss, you know, and so Dick Griffey had to override a lot of things, you know, because he was the boss, and so he would have the final say. And so Dick Griffey was the blessing in the storm for the Whispers, because what they couldn't hear, he could hear, and he would make the decision for them. So, yes, they were used to ballads, and Nick wrote a lot of their ballads, and they were used to those love ballads and just getting the girls, you know, all about the ladies. But this was about getting the ladies to get up and dance, and it worked out for everybody. So thank you for the question. I you know, it's good for me to be actually go back and to, you know, reach into my brain and figure out, you know, what actually happened, and try to do my best to give you the real honest answer as much as I possibly can. Because if I don't give you everything, it's just saying I didn't remember everything. But I'm going to tell you the truth. And it was fun. It was beautiful. Up-tempo tracks, I meant to say. Okay. So anyway, it was we had a wonderful time. We were enjoying what was happening. Don't forget, it was fresh. It was new. It was right at, we didn't know, Leon, nobody knew what was going to happen. It just happened because all of the right things came together. What I mean by that is all of the right, the chemistries, they all came together. And it just was like a storm, the perfect storm. And we were able to accomplish what any new company would want to accomplish, right? And so that record came out and boom, and shot up the charts. And it was like people made people turn and go, whoa, what's going on? That's the Whispers? They usually sing slow songs. And it was like, well, who did that? Leon Silvers. And then, you know, next thing you know, boom, another one came out and shot up the charts. Who did that? Leon Silvers. That was second time around for Shalimar. I've just played that for you guys. It was going on and on. It's like, what is going on? It's the same company, Solar. Solar is making some noise. We can't just ignore them. We have to pay attention. So not only was it record companies, other artists that were paying attention, the radio station DJs were all paying attention. It's like, ooh, we give a Solar record. We need to look at it. We need to check it out. We need to make sure it is good. So I'll come back right after this and read another question. Thank you so much. We love you and appreciate you here at Solar.
I can't get you out of
You know, Greg is the one that brought that song back to my attention. I forgot about that song, Fashion, by Carrie Lucas. And when he brought it to my attention, I was like, oh, yeah, we did record that. And then when I went and I found it, I was like, oh, man, what a fun song. That was fun recording that music for, you know, Carrie Lucas as well. It was just an interesting time, you know, because we were recording for everybody, it seems like. It was just so much going on, and you could not – it was hard to kind of contain yourself. We were just so busy. That was and time went by so quickly because of it. I mean, we were recording this – We never left we went home, obviously, but we were always in the studio recording, and it just became a thing. That's where we lived, and the business was being handled in the office. And so the creators were in the studio. The business was at the office of Solar Records. Dick Griffey was making the decisions about what he needed and what was going on. Leon would go get to those meetings and come back, and next thing you know, we're recording this person. Then we're recording that. We were recording everything. We were just so busy. And a lot of times we would record songs and we didn't know where they were going. We were just recording. You know, we were creating. It was like the flow was there. It was like, and we were starting to feel like, oh man, let's just do this. And that's, you know, we would create stuff in the studio as we were going in to record other songs. And it was just a beautiful blessing that it was so much energy. It was so many gifts in the same room all the time that we were able to pull each other in and just, you know, and drop it. And drop it like it was hot. I mean, just make it hot. You know, rather it starts off raggedy, and we would take that little raggedy thing and just straighten it up, and, oh, before you know it, it was like, whoa. And there was many times. Me, as a young songwriter, I had no idea. I would just play parts and, you know, on the keyboard, and then they would actually start playing it, and then I would get on the drums and start playing the drums. And then all of a sudden, that little thing that I was doing, we just kept taking it to the next level and the next level, and it was getting better and better. And I remember just trembling sometimes, like with joy, like, whoa, that's my song. You know, and I would have to thank Leon Silvers for that, because he was just like, you got to jump in and swim. And so he pushed me to do that. So let me get to this other question. We got 42 minutes left in the show. Let's see here. On the Adventures in the Land of Music, three members are credited on guitar. How was it decided who played guitar on what tracks? Okay. So, how was it decided? So, Leon Silvers, first of all, was the boss. Okay. So, he was the boss from the beginning to the end. That never changed. So don't let anybody twist that. He was the boss from the beginning to the end. All right. So when it came down to Adventures in the Land of Music, the album, it was so much fun. We had so much fun in studio recording, because we had now become... We've now started liking each other a lot as human beings, and everybody had decided who was going to be their best friend and who they were hanging out with. And, you know, we all were, you know, we were getting so much respect from the industry. You know, we would go to the musicians union to get paid. Everybody would know who you are. And these big, you know, cats that's been doing it for many years, they were welcoming us into the community. And it was just a beautiful time. So we were really feeling good about ourselves, and we were being blessed by the community. And so we continued to record songs with so much confidence, you know, that we would, like, our confidence would come across on the tracks. And it was a real blessing. So when it came down to the guitar players, you had Steve Shockley that was working with us all the time, one of the Throwdown Brothers from Lakeside. He was always recording with us. But at the same time, Ernest Pepper Reed was our guitar player in Dynasty, and Richard Randolph was the guitar player in Dynasty. So it was like if we took songs, like I told you, we didn't even remember what we were recording. We didn't know who we were recording for is what I mean. We would just record songs. So if Steve Shockley is on a couple of those songs, it's because we recorded it not knowing if it was going to be for Dynasty or who it was going to be for. And Leon's not going to take Steve off of the song. I mean, it sounds great. Let it stay. If it lays, it stays, right? And so, and then you had Ernest Pepper Reed and Richard Randolph. Leon would always put them in a stereo mix. In other words, what I mean by that is that he would put one of the guitar players, that's say Pepper Reed, all the way to the left. He panned his guitar all the way to the left, and Richard Randolph's guitar would be panned all the way to the right. And so you would hear this ding, 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 and you're like, whoa, whoa. It's just so much movement going on, but they're not clashing because they're on two different sides of the speaker. And so if you're on one side of the club, you're hearing ding, 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 ticket, 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 there's Richard. And if you're on the other side of the club, you hear that as Pepper. He loved to pluck. So Pepper was doing all the plucking and the solos, and Richard was just an amazing rhythm guitar player, and he would just give us that rhythm, that beautiful locked rhythm, you know, that pocket rhythm. And it was just a beautiful thing. So those are the three guitar players that I'm quite sure that you're talking about in your question. And that was like I said, it was just, so Leon was making the decisions, and that's how that all happens. Can you talk about Gene Dozier and his contribution to the Solar label? Okay, so Gene Dozier, hey, first of all, my homeboy, he's from Philly. And he was older than us, you know, he was wise. He had been out in California for many years. He is also a cousin of Al McKay and from Earth, Wind & Fire. And Gene Dozier was the nicest man. He was our string arranger, and he did a lot of the arrangements. He did the arrangements on And the Beat Goes On, by the way. And he was really a nice guy. He's actually the one that came up with that bum bum part that Ricky Freeze played. I remember we were in the studio rehearsal hall, you know, working on the song. And then Gene just walked over to the keyboards, and he was just, he was just there to hear what he had to write the arrangements to. And Ricky had it set on that setting, and so and Gene walked up to the keyboard, the synthesizer, and he started messing around. Next thing you know, he's going, can, and we were like, oh, yeah, we were just playing, and Leon was, yep. Ricky played it in the studio, but Gene created it, but that's like a string part, right? And so, but Gene still, he created all the strings and stuff around and the horns and all the stuff. And so Gene Dozier, nice brother out of Philadelphia. We lost him in the 90s with a heart attack. He had a heart attack. At that time, he was living in Las Vegas. And so rest in peace, Gene Dozier. We love you and miss you, brother. Thank you so much for everything that you do. All right, guys, so we got another 36 minutes. I'll come back and answer more questions. But I want to make sure that I'm playing this music that we're talking about here on Solar Records Radio. All right, so here's a little bit of Midnight Star. We'll be right back. All right, babyface. Doing his thing here on Solar Records Radio, Tender Lover. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Hey, my girl Julian just chimed in. What's up, Julian? Detroit, Michigan in the house. Much love to you, sweetie. Hope you're well. And I don't know if you're driving that bus. I don't know what you're up to, but whatever you're doing, just be safe and God bless you and take care of yourself. And thanks for hanging out. I have a picture of Julian and William Shelby. It's on the show thing going around and around. So, yes, sweetheart, thank you for sending me that picture and just, you know, reminding us of William Shelby getting around. He was with Lakeside that day, and they were performing and had a great time and great show. And so got to hang out with Julian. How sweet is that? All right, so I'm going to, and thanks, Julian. She said, great questions. I love the answers. They great. Thank you, dear. All right, so let's see here. The actual song, Adventures in the Land of Music, that song is almost orchestra. It's orchestrated, and it's one of those things where it is bigger than what you would expect. It is because the orchestra really, really plays such a big part in it, and so it just really kind of takes you someplace else. And he says, "Can you remember how they came up with the concept of that song? Because it's so unexpected on that album." Can you remember recording it? So, yes, I can. And like I said, that song was a very, very special song written by Richard Randolph, Ricky Smith, Kevin Spencer. Leon was involved somehow. He made that all happen, right? And so... And so it was a very special thing because we were feeling ourselves. We were going someplace else with the music. We were trying to go. We were trying to grow is what we were doing. And so when we were doing that, it was like, okay, guys, this is a different element. This is a whole nother story. This is a different thing, and we were feeling, and we had to pay attention because it was going there. We were following the spirit of the music, and it was taking us there, and it was a beautiful opportunity for us. We as you know, for Dynasty, it was like, what's really happening here? You guys, we knew that we wanted to grow, and we were constantly putting it in. I'm going to let you hear just a tad so you can hear what he's talking about. Check it out. Different intentionally because we were trying to grow as a unit. And so, and Leon, all of us, we were just ready for that moment, right? And so, but when Benjamin Wright Benjamin Wright, I just posted his picture in the show page here. Benjamin Wright came in to do the strings and the horns and all that. It took the music to a whole nother level. All of a sudden, honestly, I'm going to be real honest. I was like, wow, we sound like Earth, Wind, and Fire. You know, and don't forget, I'm young, right? I grew up listening to Earth, Wind, and Fire as a child. They've been out forever. And so I was like, whoa, this sounds like Earth, Wind, and Fire. We are going there. And I knew it then that we were growing and we were getting better. And this was, we were going someplace special. And so to me, that song was really, really just a total different thing. Yeah, you're right. It was completely different than anything else on the album, because we at that point knew that we were trying to go someplace and we were following the spirit of the music. And so we continued to do that on other records, and we were growing and growing and growing because of it. We kept growing. And so that's a great question, because you're taking me back to my passion, you know, and thank you so much. So can you talk about Gene Dozer? Did that contribution to the I did that, okay, read that. Let me see here. If And the Beat Goes On took 9 hours to record, which songs were the quickest? You know, that was up to Leon, you know, because he was a stickler. Yeah, I mean, he was really like, okay, like so the process is that we got to make sure we get the drum track right first. The drum track is the most important thing. Do you know why that is? Okay, the reason why getting the drum track right first is the most important thing, because the drums are the foundation of our music, okay? Especially up-tempo dance music, you know, mid-tempo swing. I mean, the drums, even when you go to see bands perform, if you got a great drummer, you got a chance to sound excellent. But if your drummer is not that strong, it is what it is. You're going to be, even though, no matter how good everybody else is, you're going to be okay. But if your drummer is strong, oh, my goodness gracious, that gives the band this immediate support to be amazing. And so Leon always wanted to make sure that the drum tracks were locked, that they were tight, that everything I was playing was right. And so I told you before that I've always focused on making sure that Leon never looked at me as the problem. I was like, look, I was in a separate room. I was in this glass room, and I looked through this glass and see everybody in a whole nother room, you know, and so, but I was the one counting it off. And then I was 1, 2, 3, God. And we just go. And Wardell, for 7 or for 5, 6 minutes, whatever the time is, you got to focus and make sure that you do your part the whole time. It's because when you're recording live, everything, we're in the studio and we're recording it, everything, you can hear every little thing. You can hear the mistakes. You can hear, you know, if you're slowing down. You can hear if you're speeding up. You can, you know, and you can hear if your sticks are hitting each other. You can hear every single thing. And so you had to do your best to be perfect for that amount of time. And so I always focused to make sure that when I started recording for Leon or anyone, that I am focused, my intensity is so on that I refuse to, just like I didn't want to hurt my mom. I never wanted to make my mom cry. After I saw her crying one time, I made her cry one time, I was like, I'm never doing that again. And so I just wanted to focus on making sure I did not do that, did not drop the ball. If Leon expected for me to do something, I was going to do it. And so we would get in there, and I just really focused. And so let me think. If I could think, we recorded a million songs. So I can't think. I could tell you, Make That Move was so much fun. When we recorded Make That Move for Shalimar, that was so much fun because I was doing something completely different and unique that I didn't do on any of the other records. So for me, it was like, oh, this is something different, Wardell, that I created, you know. And so I was, the song, lyrically, they were talking about going round and round and, you know, going round and round. Make that move right now, baby. You only get one chance in a lifetime. Make that move right now. You know, then round and round and round or whatever the words were they were saying. And so when they were saying that, I was thinking, okay, I'm going to do a round and around on my hi-hats. So I was just playing, and then all of a sudden, I was... See, that round and around, that was going round and round. And so I enjoyed, you know, challenging myself, and Leon enjoyed the creativity. Like, he didn't come up with any of it. It's like, oh, yeah, this, dude, yes, just do what you feel. And that was, when he said, just do what you feel, that was like freedom, but at the same time, pressure. And so it was like, okay, I'm going to do what I feel. And so he started trusting me because I would be respectful with his trust, right? And we were just having a good time. So I think maybe... to answer your question, Make That Move was one of the quickest songs that we recorded. Now, if I get Kevin on here, because he was there, some of my other brothers that were there are not here with us anymore to confirm that. Yes, I believe that was one of the fastest songs we recorded. And so, and it was fun. So, anyway, good gracious, this was fun. Thank you guys so much for your questions. Thanks for hanging out. And we got 14 minutes left in the show. And I just feel so blessed, man, just being able to go back there. Thank you for taking me there with those questions because it really, really kind of blessed me. So but I want to also remind you guys tomorrow, Solar Wants to Dance, our cardio, we are going to be pushing it, pushing it, pushing it, pushing it. So make sure you tune in and hang out with us at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Not 3 like normal, but 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Come hang out with us, and we're going to have a good time together. What else was it that I needed to say? Hey, okay, so I'm almost done with the website. Go to WardellPottsJr.com. If you want to, you can donate to our station. It's a Christian-based station. We love to love. We love to talk about God. We love to talk about loving each other and being a blessing to one another. And we love to play good music for you and talk about the music that was created and bring on people to do great interviews and share. But if you have any advice as well, if you go there, you can send me a message. You have any advice to help us to build that website and make it even better. You know, right now it's just WardellPottsJr.com. It'll be SolarRecordsRadio.com in a couple days once I'm finished with once we're finished with the complete rebuilding of it. So WardellPottsJr.com, WardellPottsJr. All right, guys. So thank you so much again for hanging out with us today. We do appreciate you. Don Fleming is out on the road, and so he did call in, but it's too loud. So, but thank you for hanging out with me, and I appreciate you guys very, very much. All right, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to play that song, Make That Move, for you, okay? And so you can listen to the... That's my hi-hat, guys. Anyway, God bless you. And thanks again for tuning in. Much love. Thanks, Greg, for everything. And everybody that just, you know, is always here chiming in and stuff, I want to give a shout-out to Mimo. What's up, my brother? Waiting for that video. He's doing a video for me on my new single, guys. We have new music coming out. Well, I have a new music. I'm doing two albums. I'm doing a Christian album, and I'm doing a spiritual album, and I'm doing a secular album. And so they are coming out, and the second album is called Marston Street. That's my childhood street that I grew up on. That's a direct shout out to all my childhood friends that have followed me, and we've been friends all these years, and so much love to them, and I thank them for everything. They were just important to my life, and so I'm dedicating this to to the street that I grew up on, this record. All right, and so I think that's about it, though. So with that being said, don't forget 2 p.m. tomorrow. Remember Charlotte, when you say your prayers, keep her in your prayers. She's hurting a little bit. She's going through something, and everybody goes through something. We all get our turn. So what I'm saying is that, you know, guys, when we got to look out for each other, because it's ugly out here, and people going around shooting each other. Remember I told you that? Can't even go to the mall anymore. You're getting shot at. It's just ridiculous. People are just nuts. So with all the craziness going on, you know, we can, you know, brighten things up ourselves and love on each other. All right. So we're praying for Charlotte until she recovers from what she's going through. Okay. So make sure you keep Charlotte in your prayers. And thank you guys so much for hanging out with us today. We appreciate you here on Soul Eye Records Radio. Good night and God bless you. Take care.
one day I